RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. But this week, we are having some nuptials, right? Is that that's the right word, right?
We're having nuptials?
A couple people on the show are having some nuptials. And
okay,
then,
yeah.
I believe Floyd is shooting at people's nuptials and taking them down. So
that sounds painful.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that he is on quote unquote our side on the good guy's side, because he's very dangerous. So.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. Well, we'll talk about that.
Spoilers. So. Well, why don't you? Yeah, well, let's jump ahead and get into talking about this episode, because there are a number of. Well, it seems like there's a lot of stuff to talk about. There are really only like two storylines this week. They've kind of slowed down all the various plot threads here, but still a lot to talk about. So why don't you?
Lots of questions. I think we can come up with this week. So,
couple. Yep.
Suicidal tendencies is not what I'm having right now. It's actually the name of the. Episode, Suicidal Tendencies. I think that might be a play on words.
Yep.
The word tendencies, you know?
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't know. We'll see. It aired on March 25th, 2015, episode 17 from season 3. It was written by Kito Shimizu and directed by Jesse Warren. We are gathered here today for the union of two people to enjoy a lifetime of happiness, which of course means something is about to go horribly wrong. Diggle and Lila, they get ready to enjoy a nice, relaxing honeymoon after their beautiful wedding, when Argus boss and master of horrible timing, Amanda Waller, gather them for a Suicide Squad mission. Now, joining them on this mission is the tragically misunderstood Floyd Lawton, a.k.a. Deadshot, and the screwy schizo stalker, Cupid. But the mission is not what it seems, so the Suicide Squad will have to reevaluate their priorities.
Wait, the Suicide Squad mission is not what it seems?
It is not what it seems.
Okay.
Can you believe that?
I have a hard time believing that the Suicide Squad is not what it appears to be.
No, it's a big surprise party. It'd be a good way to throw a surprise party at Argus, right? Just have somebody go on a mission, and then when they get there... I guess, you know, hope they don't shoot you when you come walk in. But well, Oliver's priorities are to stop the League of Assassins, of course, from impersonating him and killing lots of bad guys in Starling City. Ray Palmer wants to dedicate the powers of his new suit to stop the Arrow, though, and put an end to his deadly vigilantism. Vigilantism.
Very good.
I looked it up. It's vigilantism. That's not what I would have said. But anyway.
It's isms about vigilantes.
Exactly. Now, instead, Ray discovers that Oliver wears the hood, and he quickly puts together all the pieces of Team Arrow, including Felicity's role, which does not make him happy. He is not a happy Adam right now. I think the honeymoon is over for Team Arrow. Mm-hmm. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I just hope that Felicity and Ray can stay together, because I'd hate to see her split from Adam.
That could be an explosive situation.
Oh, terribly. It's be fissionable. Or fusionable. I can never remember which one it is. There's fusion and fission. But anyway, we'll save that for our tech podcast. Well, thank you, Josh. Totally cleared everything up with the episode. I don't think I have any further questions. So,
excellent.
In lieu of that, I've got a couple pieces of news here.
All right.
The first one, which I thought that CW was telling me that, you know, somebody had died and they were donating or they were dedicating the episode to them because they put up that black title card at the end. But then I realized that it was a PSA to go to their website and watch a little film, a PSA at the website about the Wounded Warrior Project, which is pretty cool. So I think that is really nice, especially considering that, you know, they were dealing with the Suicide Squad and individuals, specifically Floyd, dealing with his, I don't know, would you consider that like PTSD? You know, just the fact that...
Oh, absolutely.
When he comes back, he's not the same person that he was before. So you can go to woundedwarriorproject.org to go to the Wounded Warrior homepage and to find out more about them, what programs they offer. If you're a vet, if you want to give to the Wounded Warrior Project, donate in some way, and some other great information there. And then there's also the PSA, as I mentioned. If you go to CWTV.com and you go to their Arrow homepage, you can find their information that they have, and they'll link you back to woundedwarriorproject.org.
And you know, kudos to CW for including that. I thought that was great. I mean, it was kind of a powerful episode to kind of watch the lesson there, but for them to kind of include more information, mm-hmm. and there's a little, like you said, a little PSA with Diggle himself at the end, kind of telling people about the Wounded Warrior Project. So,
yeah, great job. I thought it was cool, and it wasn't really heavy handed, you know, because they didn't do anything in the episode about it, mm-hmm. and they just put up the very simple title card at the end of the episode before they ran the credits and the preview for next week. So, yeah, kudos to CW. That was very nice. And then I'm not going to mention the title of this upcoming episode. We're down to about six episodes. And if you've been listening to our podcast since the beginning, you'll know that the second to last episode, the penultimate episode for each season, ends up being a Bruce Springsteen song. And, well, the producers do not disappoint. They are back for a hat trick with a third Bruce Springsteen song this season for episode 22. So look forward. I will look forward to talking about that. It sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm. If you don't mind spoilers, you can find that online for sure. But it I'd say it's spoilerish, the title.
If you are paying attention to what is going on in the episodes here, and yeah, I think it could definitely tell you, well, it's not going to tell you what's going on. I mean, it's not called like, you know, Oliver becomes Ra's al Ghul. Oops. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Forgive me, everybody. I didn't mean to get into the title that deep. And that is what's really funny. Okay. Well, it's Oliver becomes Ra's al Ghul. That's the name of the episode. And what's really weird is the fact that that's a Springsteen song too, which... You would never, you know, I think it was off of the River soundtrack or the River album, you know, so it was one of his more creative pieces. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the title. And I don't think that actually happens. So, but we'll have to see. And then one other.
You don't know. They could throw a little twist in there.
You know, it'd be great just to have like Springsteen on as like, I don't know, you know, like a hardworking Starling City, you know, bus driver or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe just, Bruce Springsteen to become Ra's al Ghul.
That'd be pretty great.
Ra's al Ghulstein.
Born
and this
in
is
Nanda
why the
Parbat.
Writers don't call us.
Right.
Yes.
Born in Nanda Parbat, and you've got the hood sticking out of his back pocket.
Okay, now I just want to know a bunch of League of Assassins Bruce Springsteen songs. So if you guys could share those on the internet with us on Facebook, that'd be great.
And go. All right. And this is not important news at all. But Josh, you and I will be at Star Wars Celebration coming up here in a couple weeks.
All right,
which is the
that's important to me. But
well, yeah, you know, I mean,
but Arrow related, I agree.
As far as Arrow related, it is the largest Star Wars party ever. And if you guys are Star Wars, if listeners out there are Star Wars fans, I heartily recommend trying to come to the show if at all possible. It's in Anaheim, California this year, right next to Disneyland. And you and I are going to be there. And if fans of the podcast are going to be there as well, track us down. Let us know that you listen to Green Justice, and we'll have a pin available, or a badge, or a button, or whatever you call it. It's a little, you know, lapel pin that you can put on with our logo on it. And we'll have some images of it, and we'll put those up on Twitter and on Facebook here in the next week or so. And we'll also provide some information about how you can go about finding us or tracking us down or identifying us if you've never met us. We'll yes. Provide that information as well.
I definitely need to figure out some way to expose myself.
No. See, that was the problem we had at the last celebration. And I talked to your therapist, and they said that I, you know, just need to make sure that you don't get too many drinks in you.
All right. I'll remember to put my medication on my packing list.
Yes. Put it on your list and make sure that you actually take it, because just bringing it doesn't do any good.
Oh, all right. All right. Fine.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I'll get a pin to remind me.
Well, speaking of medication, tonight's episode is called Suicidal Tendencies. And, boy, that was a killer segue right there.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I feel that, you know, just using the term suicidal in the title, this was a huge Suicide Squad episode. And, you know, I felt that that was probably 90% of what they were trying to tease in using this as a title. Mm-hmm. Because you've got these, you know, not, I guess, unstable characters that are put into these dire predicaments, you know, with the Suicide Squad. Well, at least Floyd Lawton, Deadshot, and Cupid. And, you know, he's unstable, and we get some flashbacks about his life, and it's not the nicest thing, as you probably would imagine. So were there any other sort of, like, tie-ins to, you know, Suicidal Tendencies as a title that you can point out?
Just within the episode?
Just within the episode itself.
So, yeah obviously the squad and Lloyd. Now his flashbacks, you know, were the showed him why he was like he was, but then also at the end he kind of did some sacrificing, you know, that helped a little bit. And but then Diggle and Lila, I got to thinking about this. Why'd they both go on the mission? You know, I mean, is it? I mean, it's called the Suicide Squad for a reason, and they both went on the mission. And I mean, I can understand why Lila went. Obviously, I mean, she—that's her duty, that's her job. I see why
she was told to go. So it was really Diggle agreeing to go with her.
Yeah, and I understand why he did too. But and as I guess you know, this episode kind of helped him realize that look, we can't both be, you know, putting ourselves at risk for the sake of our daughter and for you know, but to me it was a little suicidal to both go on that mission. Either that, or they feel confident enough that they can succeed in any circumstance. At least they did when they left. When they got
well,
there, maybe not so much.
Okay, so with that, Floyd talks about their love. And, you know, how crazy it was for them both to come when they first land in, was it Krasnia?
Krasnia, yeah. No, Krasnia. Krasnia. Yeah.
The names they pick for their foreign countries are just off enough that it's like, am I saying that right?
No, they sound real. That's why, anyway.
He's got this whole line that he uses, and the part that really sticks in my head is, you know, love is like a bullet in the brain. And, you know, he's basically telling them that, you know, it's ridiculous. It's not, you know, the life of lovers and family is not for people like them, even though John is like, well, I don't know what to say, man, because we just got married and we've got a child. And he's being pretty cavalier at that point. So, I mean, Floyd's got him pretty well covered there. I mean, that's... He's right as far as I'm concerned in that moment.
He's right.
That's ridiculous for them to both be there. I mean,
oh yes, yes. I thought you meant the love part was the bullet to the head was
well,
right.
No. I mean, not necessarily in terms of his, you know, and because I, you know, as we find out later, he's just really repeating what someone else told him, and you know, that's it's. I guess it's one of those things. You know, somebody told him this at one point, and he kind of took it to heart, and it's like, well, yeah, maybe that's true for me, and so now. You know, he's trying to use it on somebody else to make himself sound all badass, but I don't know. He doesn't really come off that way, but his...
I think he does, but then he realizes later on that he was wrong.
Oh, you think he really did believe that at the beginning?
Yes, I do. I do. Okay. I mean, I think he wanted to believe it to help him cope with his situation, you know, with
okay.
his tragic past.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah,
so you know, so when you say, did he believe it? I think yes. I don't think he wanted to believe it, but I think he was making himself. So, I don't know. It's always so tragic when you see stuff like this. But anyway,
but you know, but you pointed out that it seemed kind of crazy for Diggle and Lila to both be there, and Deadshot thought so as well, and. The only people at that point, and I don't know if it was just because of the mission, you know, that they were hyped up on adrenaline, you know, or just, you know, because they had just gotten married or whatever, but they did not seem to see that. They were like, no, this is our job and our duty and stuff like that. And it wasn't until later and between them and Deadshot, they seem to have kind of a flip flop, right? So he's all cocky and, you know, he's prepared to die every other time we've seen him. And, you know, they're very cavalier about going in and saving stuff. And then towards the end of the episode, all of a sudden they're afraid that they're never going to see their child again. And they're, well, at least Lila is really questioning why are they doing this? And Floyd, I think, has a huge change of heart. And, you know, basically saves the day, which was, I mean, that was, that was unexpected. I thought that was a really great character moment for Michael Rowe on this role.
I agree. Can we talk about that real quick? Because I was a little bit confused. They had the hospital rigged up to blow.
Yeah.
And Floyd was did I say Floyd? Lloyd? No, is it Floyd or Lloyd? Now I'm thinking Andy Griffith. Floyd.
Floyd.
Oh, Andy. I love your bullet to the brain, Andy. Sorry. Floyd, he's standing on a rooftop looking down at the room and taking out, you know, militia people or
right. He was kind of on the roof above the front door area. Or I think... Based on the overview, the satellite imagery thing that Lila showed at the beginning,
right?
The hospital had like an inner courtyard area, so you know there was a building that had a hole in the middle, basically.
Right.
And he was on one side of it, and the hostages were on the other side.
When the explosion went off, it didn't appear to take out the entire building. It just kind of looked like the area where they had run out of, right? Didn't
right,
it?
And he was standing right above them, because remember, he was shooting down at the... come on, are you trying to tell me he's not dead? I've been waiting 3 years to say, now Deadshot's really dead.
I think you have said that a couple times.
Well, I mean, I've said it before, but, you know, I've
but you really mean it this
wrong.
Time. Okay.
No, this time for sure, Josh. Deadshot is dead. Yeah, I think he was standing right above the exit.
Okay. I was just a little confused as far as the angle of where he was and where the explosion took place. So, I mean, clearly it was meant to be, you know, it was meant to be implied that he had been taken out on that explosion. That's why they were all worried about him in the first place. But, okay, anyway, that was all. I just want to clear that up.
So, do you think we talk about what makes a hero a lot in this podcast?
Yes.
Do you think Floyd is a hero?
No.
Okay.
I don't. And I'll explain myself. I think what he did was a heroic act, but I don't think that one thing makes him a hero. I don't think he's a hero. He's done too many other things that were not heroic, that were, you know, anti-heroic, bad guy-ic. I don't know. What's the opposite of heroic? And
selfish, maybe? I don't know.
Yes, I guess sometimes. Not always. I mean, sometimes it was just for a paycheck, you know, but but it was unethical, for sure.
Okay,
and,
right.
And does, you know, do heroic acts make up for the bad things you do? That's one of the things Oliver struggles with, and that's what, hey, you know, Captain Lance is struggling with about Oliver right now. But, I think yes. I think they can, and I think you can come around, and I think you can change. But, you know, he did one heroic thing, and it was great. But I don't think that necessarily makes him a hero based on everything else he did. And you know, that's subjective. That's just my opinion. That's not necessarily... you guys could definitely justify saying that he is a hero. I mean, it wouldn't be too hard, but I don't think he is.
So Diggle has never been a huge fan of Deadshot. We know this for certain.
well, he killed his brother, so yeah.
Yeah, so... You know, he's helping him with his bullet wound, and we see that Deadshot's, you know, got the Andrew Diggle's name tattooed on his chest. And that gives John pause, but he goes ahead and continues to bandage him up. And I don't know if you notice later, he actually slaps him on that shoulder. John actually slaps him on that shoulder. And I'm like, there was no reaction. I think that they forgot that he was supposed to have been shot there. Because it looked pretty painful. but he, John, then, you know, still manages to be able to work with Floyd and see, you know, that there's some good in him. And at the end of the episode, when basically Lawton's used as a scapegoat for, you know, as a cover for the crazy stuff that the senator did, and the fact that senator paid off the all the witnesses and everything like that, and Lila tried to go to bat for Floyd, but Waller blocked her. John, I think, to me, seems like he's had a complete change of heart about this man, you know, because he offers a toast to him. Am I just reading too much into that?
See, I'm not sure John and I would always agree on what makes you a hero and you can do to...
Well, I'm not saying that John thinks he's a hero necessarily, but here's a man who found out who killed his brother and, you know, wanted to have his own brand of revenge. And we've gone through this huge character swing on both characters, both on Deadshot and on Diggle. And, you know, now John's toasting his memory.
Yeah. Well, what I was saying is that I think that John did think that that one heroic act kind of made up for a lot of the stuff he did. And he's giving pause to say, look, we've got to acknowledge that he did something good. And I obviously, you know, he didn't have the knowledge about Lawton that we did from his past, about his past, which, again, I don't think he's a hero, but I understand why he is like he is. I still don't automatically think that one act makes him a hero. But I don't know. I think it's worth toasting for saving all those people.
For his sacrifice.
For his sacrifice, sure, absolutely. His supposed sacrifice.
Right. Okay.
I don't sound like I'm very, I don't sound like I can back up my feeling there about him not being a hero. But you know, I'm sort of iffy.
Well, no, I mean, I think the points you make are valid. I mean, he's in terms of Argus, I mean, he is not heroic. He's a criminal. He's been, you know, branded as such. He is a member of the Suicide Squad. You know, he's got a bomb in him somewhere. And he's forced to do jobs that will get him killed. I mean, and that's, you don't, if someone survives on the Suicide Squad for too long, well, then either you're not really working as hard as you should be, or you're extremely, extremely lucky, as I think both Lila and Diggle have been in their run-ins with the group. I mean, I think we've gone through, what, like three or four different characters on the squad now, I think. So
this was a much smaller squad than I was expecting to see.
It's a manageable squad, I think. Because in the comic books, it's usually like 5, 6, 7 people.
Yeah.
And they throw all sorts of heroes and villains, but you get Lila and Diggle in there, and you got to have some exposition and stuff. You can't have too many characters vying for for time on that, I guess. So, okay. Any other like suicidal tendency things that you saw?
I kind of stretched a little bit to figure some of these out, but I was thinking about Oliver, and I really liked the idea that Oliver was fighting with himself. I mean, not really emotionally, but actually literally, like he was there were arrows fighting with each other. That's not suicidal. You know, I can see that he is going up against something he really kind of knows he can't beat. You know, I don't think he really believes he can beat the League of Assassins, but he's going to just keep fighting almost to the death. It's like he's just going to it's kind of stubbornness that I see in him, you know?
So, oh, totally.
I mean in this particular thing, he will just keep fighting to the death even though he really doesn't believe he's going to win.
Because I think this goes back to some of the things that he dealt with last season, the fact that, you know, he's got to fight, otherwise, you know, evil wins. And if he goes down, you know, and if he falls during the battle, well, he's done his part, and, you know, he's fought the good fight and everything like that, but he can't just stand there and let, you know, these other archers come in and destroy his city.
So he's prepared to die. He's comfortable with the fact that he could die because he knows that he went down fighting.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
That seemed a little suicidal to me, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
Not in the same way of, you know, Lawton, for sure. I think he's just, you know, he's just planning to fight to the death.
Right.
You know, that, like I said, that was a stretch, but it just seemed like it kind of fit that situation. And then Ray Palmer's just idea that he could be a hero just like that without any training. He's just got himself a new little toy. That's just crazy, man.
Sometimes Ray is so smart, he's just stupid.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't know what he's thinking in this episode because, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, Felicity, I love you and I trust you. And then she tells him something. He's like, whoa, wait a second. You know, you're totally, you know, you're blindsided by Oliver's, you know, by your emotional attachment to Oliver. And she's like, no, I'm not. And then Oliver comes and says, you don't know what you're dealing with. And he's like, I got this. And then Laurel tells him, you know, you need to stop. And he's like, I think I'm going to go take care of this myself. I'm like, all right, do you not see everybody is really, really trying to help you out on this? And he's not taking... what was great about this entire sequence was, of course, it makes Oliver seem like this amazing person because, you know, everyone said how great he is. Ray doesn't believe it. And then Oliver says, you know, I could kill you. If you believe that I am who you think I am, then that person would kill you right now. And then, you know, just puts the arrow down and it's like, but, you know, you need my help. And it's like, wow, you know, Oliver, you're the bigger man. But of course, Ray is the atom. So, you know, he's very tiny, I guess.
Yeah. Although not standing by Oliver, he's not.
No. Yeah, he's still got, 2-3 inches on Stephen Amell, I guess.
All right. Can I drool over Ray a little bit?
Okay, go.
Is this a good time?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, yeah, I agree with you that he's making these kind of dumb decisions. I think they're emotional decisions, very emotional decisions. And he is a brilliant genius, okay? And I'll tell you why I think that. But he's also a human being, and he's had a trauma in his life, you know, when his fiancé – it was a fiancé, right? They were married.
Yeah, fiancé.
Okay, his fiancé was killed by the Mirakuru soldiers. And so that was very traumatic. He's very emotional about it. Still, that's why he has put so much time and energy and money and effort into building this suit so he can help save the city in a very in a much more noble, at least in his eyes, ways than what the Arrow is doing it. A very dare I say Superman type way. But so he's emotional about that. And when you're emotional, you don't always think straight. You know? So I will give him that. And what I like about the way they portrayed that and about the way Brandon Routh portrayed that is that he's still brilliant. He's still smart. Number one, he put together the pieces really fast. As soon as he discovered that Oliver was the Arrow, he figured out real quickly, oh, well, let's see. You're Black Canary. Okay, well, Felicity knows. All right. I mean, like, he figured this stuff out because it's right. obvious once you know certain things, you know? I mean, I guess maybe not obvious, but it could be, hey, Captain Lance should know. I mean, he really should know. And maybe he's blinded himself all this time on purpose, but, I mean, it really should be obvious to him, too, because he's been around this situation for a long time. Ray has just figured it all out.
Yeah.
One last thing, and with him being so smart and yet emotional, he does realize when he was wrong. He does realize what Oliver truly is, you know, not the really evil vigilante that he was portraying him as. Uh-huh. And he's not afraid to admit it, you know, and he goes to Felicity at the end. So I really like how they balance that emotional extreme that he had with his intelligence and made it work within the character. Because not all characters, when they get emotional like that, look at what Oliver does when he gets emotional. I mean, he gets violent. He gets stubborn. He shuts down. He won't listen to his friends. He'll only do what he wants to do. you know, when Captain Lance gets emotional, he doesn't talk to his family, you know, for 6-7 episodes. When Laurel gets emotional, she goes and drinks, you know. I mean, all of the characters have these different ways of dealing with their emotional status, and I love the way they did it with Ray, because it's different than anybody else so far, and it's kind of what you shoot for, you know. They're really portraying him as this Boy Scout, as this good guy.
That's okay. Interesting, too.
I'm done.
No, that's great, Josh.
Love him!
He really is a super guy, and I enjoy what the character and Brandon Routh adds to the show, because it is an entirely different dynamic with him. And what's interesting is Oliver's trying to shortcut Ray on his journey, right? He's because he says, you know. You know, I've been through this already, and he's doing it wrong, or, you know, he's going to get hurt or whatever it is. You know, he doesn't realize what he's up against. Well, Oliver, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, you had your own set of problems, and, you know, Ray's got to figure a lot of this stuff out for himself. And it's good that Oliver's there to kind of catch him and point, you know, the way for him and course correct him, you know, but you know, he's got to, you know, live his own vigilante life and figure these things out for himself. Because,
and man, Oliver says that to everybody, and it turns out to be wrong pretty much every time.
Well, and I mean, like you said, you know, Ray's got a tragedy in his life. Well, find me one person in Starling City who hasn't had a tragedy, at least really. One this year. In their life. I mean, this is the sorriest group of people, you know.
Oh,
with,
man.
If it wasn't
just,
for bad
just try
luck,
being,
they'd have
try
no
being a mayor in Starling City. There you go. That talk about that, tragedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, look, you've been elected mayor. It's like, shoot, I was really trying to lose because I think the last three mayors have been killed.
No, but, you know, also, in addition to Ray's emotional. Why do I keep using the word emotional when I can't find the word that goes next to it? But in addition to his just, you know, his sadness about this, it was Oliver's fault. I guess he may not know that, but, you know, the Mirakuru attack, Slade Wilson's anger, the whole everything, that was all because of Oliver. It was because of the Arrow that his wife died.
So, well, that'll be the that'll be next season when the Adams in his second year, he will find that out. Now he has to deal with, you know, I mean, I think that would be a great storyline for them to tackle. It's like, oh, you know what? I was just talking to Felicity and she let it slip that you knew the guy and, you know, who led this army, and he led the army because he was trying to get you. Oh, you know, my fiance died. I'm going to kill you now. You know, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah. Well, anyway, I like the dynamics that he brought to this. I was a little worried, you know, that they're adding another character like this, a comic book hero type character to this show. But I'm really digging the way it's gelling with everybody.
Yeah. It's an interesting, like you said, I mean, it's just an interesting dynamic. Now, the one person that Ray didn't peg, or maybe because he just doesn't know him, I guess, would be Roy.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really say anything. He didn't identify Roy when he showed up with Oliver at the, what was it, the power plant or wherever it was they were fighting.
Yeah. And why did Oliver take Roy to the power plant, but he wouldn't let him go earlier?
Oh, well, because earlier the reason they said on the show was it was, you know, the League of Assassins, and he didn't think Roy was ready to fight with them.
But they were going to do the same thing.
Well, no, wasn't it just a 911 call about a gang-related something at the power plant? I thought that's what the call was.
I think it was, but I mean,
like the
Los
Halcones.
I assumed that he was going there to prevent them from getting killed by the League of Assassins again. That's why I thought he was showing up.
Oh,
but,
I see. Okay.
So, but he brought Roy. Maybe not.
Well, no,
I guess
it was
the fact
Adam.
That he...
It was a fake call. So it was
right,
okay to bring Roy.
Oh, okay. So he realized that. Okay. It turns out Roy probably could have done better against the League of Assassins.
Yeah, probably. Oh, and just a quick aside about the League of Assassins. So when one of them falls... has Maceo been reading the Hydra handbook or something like that? they're trying to equate themselves to this other evil organization from the Shield show, but without using the catchphrase exactly. I thought that was a little obvious, but maybe I'm biased.
Just a little nod, just a little, you know. Say hey across networks there.
Yeah. So, well, and Roy actually didn't do too well fighting Adam either. He,
no,
because he got zapped by the electric. We didn't see Roy after that either.
No,
he
got force lightning across the courtyard there.
Yeah. So. Into the chain link fence, I think. So,
yeah, but, you know, I did like, the way the suit was working. For Ray, I thought the effects on that suit were pretty good for the show. I mean, they used a lot of different effects in this episode with explosions and you know, the Adam suit and all that. And I thought it looked pretty good. It was very Adam Man. I'm not Adam. Excuse me, Adam Man. Nice, very Iron Man.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you could avoid that with what it is.
Right, a guy in a superpowered suit that has energy. Beams or whatever. I mean,
right. It even sounded a little like the Arrow suit, though, when he was getting ready to shoot.
The Iron Man suit, you mean?
Yeah. I keep saying, yeah, the Iron Man suit. if you listen to the show, you knew I do this every time. It had that high pitched squeal right before he shot it. You know, kind of like Tony Stark's suit.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I was not as crazy about the effects. I know it's TV budget and everything like that. Just when you start flying somebody around like that, the physics seem to get very loose as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's I could tell when it was Brandon Routh on wires and when it was CG body winging around, and I also did not like the burning hospital effect. I thought that was pretty video toaster looking, which is an old effect suite from like 25 years ago. Actually, they still may use it. I don't know. But yeah, very Iron Man. I'm a little disappointed that they are making the Adam suit be more like Iron Man, considering that we were going to get Ted Kord, a.k.a. the Blue Beetle, instead of Ray Palmer, the Atom. Mm-hmm. But imagine now that, you know, this is Blue Beetle flying around, and then, like, I would totally buy it, and I would probably be more okay with that. The Atom, to me, just, this is not his power.
Just because, right, set. And Blue Beetle did that much more. I mean, you know, he did. He was just a guy with gadgets.
Yeah, and, gadgets, superpowered suits, flying bug ship, stuff like that. So
yeah. So I, but you know what? I mean, it's just the introduction. They may go different ways with this suit. Hope they do. I mean, I know they. I think they've even come out and said, you know, we're not going to shrink it down. But they also said they weren't going to have superpowers. So you know, they changed their mind there too. So. I would like to see them do some much different, more Adam-like powers, at least. I don't know.
In my opinion, though, they need to, if they're going to do any kind of shrinking stuff, they have to do it this season, because otherwise Ant-Man from Marvel comes out in July, and if they come back next season and do shrinking then, everyone's just going to go, well, they just did that in Ant-Man. Of course, that's why they have that idea. For people that don't know that Adam is supposed to be a you know, a shrinking kind of character.
They absolutely will say that, but I mean, they've got to make it fit with the story more. They can't worry about that kind of stuff, I think. I mean,
no, I feel they just have to do what the character is supposed to do, and the story will come second.
I agree. Wait, what?
You want to talk about the end of the episode here for a little bit?
All right, yeah, let's get to that.
Like the very end. So, well, first off, Diggle and Lila, phew, thanks to Floyd's bravery. How about that? I'm not going to say heroism.
I will totally say it's brave.
They are able to make it home and come back to their baby Sarah, who was probably just hanging out in a crib that entire time. I mean, I don't know who was looking after her. Not that it matters, but they don't, you know, touch on that. So
they gave her some nunchucks to protect herself in case somebody came in. Maybe a bow staff or
a teething throwing star, something like that.
Yes. What did her name say, Cab? They you know, they gave her some screaming sticks.
Screaming sticks.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but they make it home, and John's like, you know, all right, I've made up my mind. I'm quitting Team Arrow, and. You know, Lila is taken aback by that, and she's like, "Oh, you can't do that. You guys are doing good." And he's like, "No, you're doing good." And she's like, "No, you're doing good." And he's like, "No, you're doing good." And she's like, "No, I quit because even though I'm good at my job, I'm not doing good." That was the whole point. And now, wasn't there some reason why she couldn't quit previously? Didn't Waller have something on her or? Because I thought she tried to quit once, I don't know, several appearances ago.
Yeah,
and
I kind of remember that,
too. Waller kind of pulled her back in for some reason, like reactivated her or
yeah, she
something.
Was putting pressure on her for some reason, not to that she wasn't letting her leave or something. I can't remember exactly why, but
yeah.
I guess, you know, I guess she's good now. She's got some new employees and ready to...
Yeah. Well, and so I'm kind of interested. It seems like they've kind of brought closure to the Suicide Squad here. I mean, if Lila's out and Deadshot is dead, that's, you know, I mean, Cupid's still in it, but, you know, however cool she is, she's not really fit to lead it. And I guess they could pull John back in, but the only reason he ever went was because... Lila was called, but she was pregnant, or Lila was called and she was, you know, taking care of the baby or something, like, you know, whatever. So I'm not sure where else they're going to go with any of the Suicide Squad stuff. And we may just not see Lila in the show anymore.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, I just said they don't necessarily go along with whatever movies are doing, but there's going to be a Suicide Squad movie and... they might just be trying to get away from that idea on the show because of that. But I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I would hate to find out.
I would hate to think that's why they're doing it. But I agree with you. It kind of seems like they're putting that on the far back burner off the stove in the corner by the coffee machine.
Underlying.
But you know, they're also doing a Flash TV series, and there's going to be a Flash movie too with a different actor playing the Flash. So, you don't know what they're thinking.
And those are both still pretty far off. I mean, they're at least casting Suicide Squad because I think they're getting ready to film. I'm thinking that's a couple years, but Flash is like 3 years too, so.
For sure.
But there could be some rationale to that. The fact that DC has said, okay, hey, you guys had fun with your Suicide Squad. We don't want to confuse anybody because we know the public out there is very simple-minded. And they will get confused if you have a Suicide Squad on a TV show on the CW. And
wait, there's two of them?
I don't understand. We may have to start another podcast just to explain stuff like that to people.
The Suicide
off, we have to explain what a podcast is. Something, I don't know.
Like, yeah, all the simple people. Yeah.
The right. Comic Explain-a-Cast or something like that. Felicity goes back and kind of apologizes to Ray, but basically says, she was right. And he agrees, that he was kind of a doofus and everything like that. And so they go off to do their... it wasn't really a press conference. It was just a meeting with the mayor. And it's like you mentioned earlier, it really sucks to be the mayor of Starling City because yet another mayor is... Well, to me, that did not look like a kill shot in her shoulder, but I'm sure the mayor is dead.
Now, I know I'm going to go with you on that one.
Okay.
Mayors apparently are way easier to kill than deadly one-eyed mercenaries.
Yeah. An arrow goes straight through your eyeball into your brain and you're fine. Arrow goes into your shoulder and you're dead. Yeah. So,
The way they reacted, she seemed pretty dead-ski.
Yeah. Yep. But then you've got Felicity in, and you find out that the archer is Maceo too. So like it went from last week being, Ra's al Ghul dressed up in this green hoodie and, now it's a bunch of his League of Assassins members with Maceo kind of being the field general. And then after Oliver takes those guys out, Maceo steps up and kills the mayor. And am I correct in saying that the shot was taken at Felicity? It sounded to me like the arrow... and right as they cut to black, it sounds like there's a arrow being fired.
Yeah, they show Felicity step into shot in the window. She is the only one in the window, framed in the window there. He's got the arrow aimed right at the window. They cut to black, and you hear the shot. So, I'm hoping he got distracted or or just missed the shot on purpose. Or otherwise, Maceo, you are no longer... on my nice list. I'm already a little mad at him for shooting the mayor.
So, I got some questions about Maceo. In all of the ever since we first saw him pop up in the present with the League of Assassins, we still don't know why he is with them, and what happened to him and Tatsu that caused them to separate. I'm going to say. Uh-huh. He's like, Oliver, I will always appreciate what you have done for my family. Because we've been seeing these flashbacks with Oliver saving Maceo, or Oliver saving Tatsu, or Oliver saving Akio. And every time it cuts back, it seems a little funny, and I make fun about this just because it's been a flashback. Maceo doesn't know we're seeing the flashbacks, but he's like, Oliver, thank you for all you have done for my family. And I'm like, well, okay. So, thank you for all you've done for my family, but I have to kill you. I have to assassinate your mayor. I have to force you to take the mantle of Ra's al Ghul because it's an offer that one can't refuse. I mean... What a jerk.
Yeah. Well, and what's going to happen to Maseo, or what will happen? What are the consequences of Maseo not doing that, not following through with supposedly Ra's al Ghul's command?
Well,
to
he's
do that.
Already. Yeah, he already went against Ra's. I mean, he saved Oliver, and whether Ra's knows that or not, I'm wondering if this is all some elaborate plan just to get back at Maseo that Ra's is doing, to see how far he can make Maseo go. And it's like, you know, you've done all this crazy stuff, and you wouldn't have had to if you just let Oliver die when he fell off the mountainside. I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
This is kind of on the spur of the moment. I haven't really given that much thought. Not as much thought as, you know, like the offer is more for Nissa's benefit, you know, to drive her or something like that. But,
Well, jeez. I don't know. I don't know what Maseo's motivation is for doing this. Mm-hmm. It shows why he's not a hero. It kind of goes back to that hero thing, which is the whole kind of the theme of this season, you know, Oliver being the arrow, the Oliver both being a hero, all that. So Oliver wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that no matter what. Hey, we're going to kill you if you don't do that. No, I won't do it. The only reason that Oliver would do it is if somebody he loved, which, you know, isn't necessarily family, but it could be, you know, one of his close friends or family, if they were threatened in some way and he had no choice. That's why he sacrificed himself to Ra's al Ghul in the first place. So maybe that's what's happening to Maseo. That would be the only reason why I could see he was doing this. A real hero would find a different way, though. That's what Oliver would do. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe he won't.
Yeah. And you mentioned we'll have to see what Maseo does. Like, you know, does he miss the shot? Is he distracted or something like that? I could see him missing the shot on purpose. He seems like he's really, like, whenever he meets Oliver, he's very hard on Oliver. But then when Oliver's not looking, he's doing things in the background to help Oliver. And, you know, oh, he's just missing with the arrows or, you know, whatever it is. And so, like you said, I just don't know what his motivation is. And we'll have to see. I mean, they've got 6 episodes. I hope they wrap up some stuff. I mean, I hope that whatever they wrap up with the League of Assassins, Ra's al Ghul storyline, Maseo gets wrapped up in that as well. Because, I have not been a huge fan of the flashbacks this season. This week's is an exception. I thought that the Floyd Lawton flashback stuff was exceptional. I thought they did a really nice job on that.
Yeah, but the China flashbacks.
Yeah, but all the Hong Kong flashback. Well, yeah, all those flashbacks are just they went on too long. I didn't feel their relevance as much as I felt the relevance of season 2 flashbacks or the season 1 flashbacks. Even there were tenuous revelations, and then the Return to Starling City flashback I thought was just kind of ridiculous. So, but. So, well, do you want to raise a toast to fallen comrades?
I you know what? Let's do that. There we go.
Pour
ourselves some vodka. Yeah. All right. How do you say that? Prochti nosti?
Sure, that's close enough.
Okay, thank you. Well, I guess we're doing this at the end of each episode now. That's what Oliver and Diggle sitting on the porch a la Boston Legal and talking with James Spader and William Shatner. Going over the episode, you know, hey, you know what I learned? I learned marriage is important, and, you know, there's some things you just got to do. And Oliver learned that he's not going to have much of a choice in the future. I'm not sure what Oliver learned in this episode.
What is this, like the CW after school special?
This week on A Very Special Arrow. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, it's okay. I think I said earlier in the season or the end of last season, I'm glad that they're giving Diggle more to do because I really like that character. So I'm glad that he has some stuff. And yeah. I am wondering, just for my own information, my own source of information, how do I get on that Starling City cell phone news alert notification service?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's great. You know, anytime you find out, is it a special service just for vigilantes, or can anybody get on that, or how do you get notified?
That was really nice, of course, because, you know, it made for the awkward looks across the room. You know, Oliver looks at Diggle. Diggle looks at Roy. Roy looks at Diggle. Oliver looks at Roy. It's like... Wasn't me. Was it you?
Did you see that? I can't believe the Lakers just beat Starling City's basketball team. No. Oh, wrong one. Wrong notification. Sorry. Anyway, that was kind of funny. I like that. But
yeah, that was amusing. Because, you know, I was waiting for the shooter drop, you know, at the wedding. You know, because someone always I was waiting for Deadshot to run in and go, "We've got to go back and save your sister or your mother," or whatever, you know. But he didn't. He, you know, he waited till after the ceremony and when they were going off on their honeymoon. So that was polite of Floyd. I thought that was a good job. We got a couple quick pieces of feedback here from a number of listeners through our Facebook page. Jonathan just commented on our show episode from last week where he says, "I'm totally in with it." Meaning the offer to Oliver to become Ra's al Ghul, with it being a test for Nyssa. I had the same thought. And then our good buddy Rob shared a picture of his new Deathstroke shirt, which is way scary. It's a giant, I mean, basically the Deathstroke mask fills the entire shirt, and then there's a green arrow going vertically over the blind eye portion of the mask. It looks really cool.
He looks a little scary wearing it too. I mean, it's intimidating.
Yeah, this is the same guy that also has made his own Deathstroke costume that he's posted on our Facebook page. If you guys haven't seen that, go check it out, because it's scary too. Rob, we hope you're on our side. We do not want to be fighting you for control of any city.
Yes, I'm true. I'm loyal to you. Hail Hydra. No, what is it? I don't.
Compliance will be reward. No, that's wrong show.
whatever he needs. So, all right.
Yeah. And then Mark had written into us, and I think it was an email that Mark sent into us. And he was just saying that he was not really happy with the overall things that were happening with the storyline this season. It was the whole League of Assassins thing was not as enthralling to him. And he actually liked as opposed to me, who was having problems with the flashbacks, he's really enjoyed the flashbacks to date. So I think that's cool that this show has a little something for everybody. You know, there are parts of it that you like, Josh, and there are parts that I like, and there are parts that other people like, and they may not be all of our favorite parts. And, you know, some people may really enjoy Adam, and other people may really enjoy Laurel. She looked great in her dress for the wedding. That was some of Katie Cassidy's best work on the show to date.
The dress was her best work?
The dress, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I can go along with that.
Yeah. I mean, it was, she was cast in the role of having a cast on her hand. So.
Well, no, and I agree with you. It was, there can be things in the show that I don't necessarily like as much, but overall, the show is great, and you know, it gives us stuff to compare and talk about, and it's all right that we don't all agree on stuff. So it's just my opinion, of course.
Yeah. and we've got some references here. Not a huge amount, but some that I wanted to bring up. They mention, I think Laurel mentions Ray's X-ray vision, and Oliver calls him Super Suit. And Ray saves the day again, all sort of, I think, kind of thinly veiled Superman references.
Oh, I'm not sure they were, yeah.
I don't know if they were thinly veiled.
Yeah, not even thinly veiled. Yeah, they were. Yeah. But, yeah, I thought that was great. I thought that was great. And he is very Superman-ish, but without having the powers. So I like that.
And we got some other mention of Hive, the organization that had we had found out previously had hired Deadshot to kill Andrew Diggle. So even if my feeling is, even if they don't do anything more with Deadshot in flashbacks, which I think they could still bring Michael Rau onto the show and do a whole series of flashbacks of him and his working with Hive and why they wanted Andy Diggle dead and all that kind of stuff. Even if they don't decide, if they decide not to do any of that, I think they've tied it together really nicely here with him kind of meeting up with Hive. And it seems to be, it seems to me that all of the flashbacks are always 5 years prior. So I would assume that, you know, the last time we saw Andy Diggle, he was working with his brother John at that party in Starling City when Oliver came back for that one mission for Waller, right, which was 5 years ago. And now it's, you know, a few weeks later. And for whatever reason, Hive wants Andrew dead. So at some point, you know, 5 years ago from some point, Andy will have been killed. Maybe it's, you know, just prior to the show starting or something like that. So we might see a little bit more about that. We had Senator Joseph Cray, who is he's a bad guy senator from the Suicide Squad comic books from the 80s. As soon as we saw him and he turns to the hostage next to him, he's like, "It's okay. I'm a United States senator." I'm like, "Oh, this guy is crooked." I apologize to any senators we have listening to the show, but
yeah, I'm sure there's tons.
Well, you never know. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Well,
there could be fans of.
I don't apologize. You better not be crooked.
Well, or at least not from my state and be crooked. How about? Is that okay?
Okay, sure.
So, I mean, because you know, I mean, there's. Could be Florida senators or Texas senators listening or something. I kid. But anyway, he's from the comics and, you know, supposedly he's back in the Senate now, which is just, it's horrible what Argus is, you know, lets slip, I guess. I felt it would have been better for them to have that whole thing come, you know, have him come clean there. But, I see why they did what they did, but yeah. I was not happy with that.
No, he's mean. I don't like him.
The power plant that Oliver meets Ray at the end is called the Meltzer power plant.
Meltzer, yeah.
Yeah, which is a reference to Arrow comic book writer Brad Meltzer. And then I think it was Lila who said that... their officiant was supposed to be a guy named Rick, but he got called off on a mission. And I'm pretty sure that may be a thinly veiled reference to Rick Flagg. In the comic books, he is the Argus liaison for the Suicide Squad. So I thought that was there's a pretty good chance for that.
Oh yeah, I agree with that one. Wow.
And there was Channel 52 stuff, but, you know, that shows up a lot, so I really don't talk about that anymore.
it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah, and when Lila called in, she used her Harbinger code name and was calling on Channel Delta Charlie, which DC. Little reference to DC Comics there. But I think there was
a lot in this episode.
Yeah,
tons of stuff to do, tons of stuff to talk about, and lots of new paths to travel in the last six episodes. Jeez,
I know. Well, at least at this point, I don't feel the same anxiety level that I was feeling last season with six episodes left, because you know I think we were at that point where we found out Brother Blood was working with Deathstroke, and we were like, how are they going to resolve this all in six episodes? And, you know, where is it going? I can kind of see an end game coming here, but it doesn't have the same urgency to it. And I think that's okay. I'm getting urgency from other TV shows I'm watching right now that only have five or six episodes left. So,
all right.
I think that's cool. So, well, thanks for talking with me again about this, Josh, for yet another week. And, we'll be back next week with another episode of Green Justice.
I had a great time talking with you about it, and I hope you guys had a great time listening to it. And if you did, make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes, okay? You can just get on there and give us a good review and write something nice about us. That would be wonderful. And if you want to send us an email, tell us your opinions, disagree with me, go for it. I have no problem with that. Talk about the show. You can email us at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. You can also go and chat with us on Twitter. @GreenJusticePod, or you can visit our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And please feel free to check out the other shows that Josh and I host, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, also available on randomchatter.com. All shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this episode and this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.